Man Now, an extraordinary documentary about the NFL champion who used silence as a weapon against the sports media complex.
We will listen in live here on NFL Network with Beast Mode.
When do my time start? Oh, it started? Well, then let me start. Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined, so y'all can sit here and ask me all the questions y'all want to. I'm going to answer with the same answer, so y'all can shoot if y'all please. I'm here so I won't get fined.
That's the Seattle Seahawks former star running back Marshawn Lynch, nicknamed Beast Mode, and that is not the way the NFL wanted him to behave in press conferences.
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Lynch began stonewalling the press in 2013. The league had a fit. They fined him tens of thousands of dollars, but Lynch wouldn't give in. His silence became a very public form of resistance.
Hey, you better make more with your time. You only got 3 more minutes.
Writer David Shields has just released a stylistically fearless documentary made of 700 video clips with no narration called Marshawn Lynch, A History.
You still here because what?
So I won't get fined.
Charles Monroe Kane wanted to know why.
The reason I made the movie, the reason that I was sort of fell in love with him as a subject was that, you know, in this world of professional athletes in which the huge majority of athletes play by the rules and either are spinning themselves as brand or are giving these upbeat answers or these painfully cliched answers, Marshawn had the performance art chops, the cultural awareness, the bravado, the swagger, the nerve, the wit to somehow go Bartleby on all these people. You remember that famous Melville novella, Bartleby the Scrivener, in which Bartleby always says, I would prefer not to.
Right, right.
And Marshawn, you know, he sort of stiff-armed the American media for several years and simply said, I dare you to make me answer your unbelievably banalizing, colonizing, and dehumanizing questions. And in so doing, I think, flipped the script on American culture in ways that I would argue still resonate.
David, I want to back up a second. I think we're getting really far ahead. I want to back up for a second and talk about the NFL. NFL is a very big and powerful thing, right? And early in Lynch's career, he was arrested. He was arrested twice for hit and run and arrested for guns. Mm-hmm. These are very serious things. The NFL totally tolerated it. And they just got their PR machine going and away it went, right? But it's funny, when Marshawn Lynch started ignoring the press and giving these repeated answers, then the NFL came down hard. And I found it really hard to believe when watching your film that they cared more about him speaking to the press than they did a gun charge.
It's a really great point. It's a really great irony and paradox. And that gets spun through what's the phrase that the NFL always likes to use? Protect the shield, everything to build
protect brand. The shield, right.
And the NFL is a very complicated thing. On the one hand, it's selling violence, and it's sort of selling itself as, you know, a galaxy of people who commit violence on the field, and we're going to wink and turn away. It's extraordinary the number of things that players do and then are brought back into the league. What isn't part of American messaging is to say, I would prefer not to. To say, I am not going to speak in the master's voice.
But David, why do they care? I mean, I'm trying to get at the NFL side of this for a second. Why do they care if Marshawn does this or not? Why not market him as a freak out free spirit and have the guy never speak? Like, I don't get why they care that much. They were fining him $100,000 for not doing these press conferences. Who cares?
Who is to say that Marshawn Lynch's silence is implicitly political and radical? Hey, looks like the NFL thinks it is, because otherwise, why does it spook them out? Because, I mean, part of what the NFL is selling, it seems to me, is that it's part of corporate speak. It's part of business speak. It's part of the American corporate industrial sports media complex. And if someone says, I'm not playing that game, I have enough talent, enough power that I'm going to cash your checks. I'm going to play football because I really love it and am, you know, colossally good at it. He wants to hold on to his actual soul. We're all trapped in the matrix of American capitalism. He's actually trying to be true to himself, and he's doing a better job of it than most of us, where he was able to cash checks and not totally sell his own extraordinary soul.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about, you know, basketball and the championship just happened, and I was thinking about LeBron, right? These athletes who play the game, they know the drill, right? So it's like, hey, LeBron, how does it feel to be one game away from the championship? And LeBron answers, it's one game at a time. I don't see game seven as any different of any game. We just need to execute and stick to the game plan. I can't imagine being asked the stupid questions over and over and over again. Why do you think it happens that way? Why are these sports journalists, who ones would assume are well-educated and thoughtful, why are they asking the same stupid questions all the time? Because they're ridiculous.
I've been thinking about that question for the longest time. How did that convention develop? And Marchand even asked the question toward the end of the film. He says, I'm bored by these questions. I've been hearing these questions for 20 years. You know, he started playing sort of serious football by age, say, 14, and he's now 33 or 34. You know, he's been hearing the same damn questions for, you know, 20 years. And as Marchand says, there's only so many questions you can ask a player about a football game. It's not, as they say, rocket science.
Right.
It's not that complicated. So I think part of it is to pretend that the game is immeasurably complex and give it a kind of
hey, this is more important
science.
Than it is, right?
Yeah. But I think a bigger part is it's to take this extraordinary spectacle, which to me is processing huge amounts of American history, the idea of a majority white audience looking at black bodies in positions of violence and contortion. I mean, if you look at the NFL combine and with these black athletes in almost no clothing being timed and measured by white coaches, it's an very uncomfortable echo of slavery. It's just a very weird spectacle. And I think the NFL in particular, which is overwhelmingly black, you know, overwhelmingly owned by white owners, overwhelmingly covered by white media, processed by American media companies, you know, a majority white audience. I do think what is happening is that there's an amazing cultural residue coming through the NFL having to do with Black Lives Matters and racial violence and slavery and segregation and terror and rage and hatred and bodies and money. And I think there's something that happens, especially in the NFL, in which the issues are so alive. What's going on is so exciting and confusing and troublemaking that there's this crucial business move, it seems to me, that happens is let's banalize it. Let's totally domesticate it. And let's just turn it into, it's no more radical what we are watching or no stranger than if we were selling, you know, nachos.
You know, David, there's a powerful moment for me in the film. I think it was before the Super Bowl, where I'm sure his press junkets were incredible. They were everywhere, left and right. He had to do all the stuff. Maybe he was nervous, all this going on. And there's this one press conference where he sits down in the chair and he says to the, I think they have 5 minutes or 6 minutes. He has to do the press.
Oh, this is amazing. Yeah.
And he sits down and he says, I'll just be looking at y'all the way that y'all be looking at me. And he puts on sunglasses, leans back and stares at them for 6 minutes. And he just stood there. I'm like, wow, this guy has got guts. And I think people were scared. I think people were upset. Somebody,
exactly.
I think, yelled from the background. One of the journalists was a woman who said, oh, this is all about you, Marchand, huh? Like that. He was like, he wasn't taking the bait. What do you do with a moment like that in Culture History where he basically says, I'm just be looking at y'all the way y'all look at me?
It's brilliant. I mean, it's an amazing moment. And he is wearing, I believe at that time, a medallion of a map of Africa, in case that you're missing the cultural point. And he also is running wearing sunglasses so that he is blocking, I would argue, kind of the white media gaze and sending that gaze straight back at the journalist. Marchand is taking that gaze and sending it right back at the gazer and implicitly to me flipping the power switch and saying, who has the power now? I'm not an object of your gaze. You now are the object of my gaze. And it makes people very uncomfortable. How do you participate in this culture, American culture, as a black man without selling your soul? And he figured out a pretty narrow path through it.
Hey, look, I don't know what story y'all trying to get out of me. I don't know what image y'all trying to portray of me. All of my requirements are fulfilled. So now for this next 3 minutes, I'll just be looking at y'all the way that y'all looking at me. Thank you.
Marshawn Lynch has retired from pro football a couple of times, but he could still be back. He's 34 years old and a free agent. Charles Monroe Kane was talking with David Shields about his new documentary. It's called Marshawn Lynch, A History.